We praise God for what he's doing. So today I want to talk a little bit with you about I will go. So I'll start more with like a report from what's been happening the 2 months that I have not been here on a Sabbath. I do sneak into town on some of the weekdays and do Bible study like I was here on Wednesday. But on the Sabbath, it's 2 months since I've been here on a Sabbath. And that's what happens when you're part of a global church. We're not just a one-off church in a community downtown. We are a global body. Amen? And so I want to talk with about I will go today. So I'll show you a couple of pictures. And it is true, I was a delegate to the 62nd General Conference session. And that's my delegate badge there. And of course, I proudly wear my New York sweater. Man, that air conditioning was, I think snow was going to fall inside that stadium. It was cold. And we're there for 10, 12 hours a day, 15 hours, whatever, you know. It's work. Yeah, it wasn't going there on a vacation. It was work. Yeah, so there it is in St. Louis. 20 years ago, the year we got married, we went to our first General Conference session. And it was in St. Louis, Missouri. So it's amazing. It was historic going back there 20 years later. And there we are. This was on fourth weekend in May. Again, this is our Atlantic Union. They had a first time. It's like a couples retreat, a renewal for all the pastors across the Atlantic Union. So, you know, all the states involved. And so, yes, we were there. And, you know, I saw this one here, I will go, you know, carved out. And it was pretty good to see that there as a part of the exhibit. And there we were, yes, on the floor of the GC session, doing the business of the Lord. But of course, we have time for a photo, right? Yes, 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 we were there. And her badge says family member. So she had access to the floor. And there are all the musketeers. Yep, yep, we were all on the floor. It was a good time. Very good. And Jessica with the face, I don't want to take a picture, you know? Yeah, that's what that is saying. But we were there. And sometimes you have to fly above the clouds to go on a mission, amen? That was literally a picture out my window, flying above the clouds. Amen. There you go. Yes, you know, we thank God for what he does. And then I'm here with those three. Yes. And everybody with their badge. Memory made. And sometimes you have to go with other missionaries. That's a fellow pastor from our conference here. Yeah, he's north of Syracuse, Natural Bridges area, you know. They're good. He and his wife there. We praise God. And I voted. Yes, this is where I feel excited about voting. I don't care about Republicans and Democrats, but I care about my church. Amen. I proudly make sure I had that card there. I voted. And this was an actual vote. There's someone there who wasn't voting, so they could take my picture for me, you know. They couldn't vote. They were a family member, you know. Yeah, so we voted. And sometimes you have to link up with other evangelists, right? We've got to do that as we press the work forward. We praise God. And there is the big arch in St. Louis, Missouri. That was a picture out of our hotel window, you know. We were right the place and, you know, just meet up with a random family. We saw them and we liked their dress. We just took a picture with them. Just like that. Yep, and there's a night view of the arch from outside our window. So that was very nice. And here we are. Yep, after 20 years, we went back there. And man, that thing is so high. That's the best shot we could get to try to get our faces in it, you know. It was tough to get that picture in it. Yep, and on the floor, there we go. Yep. Yes, we thank God. We thank God for what he does for us. He's a great God. We thank him for what he does. So you get to see that a little bit there, what's happening. And we go forward. Can you imagine upward of 40,000 people singing? That's what that was. I mean, even when I show it a little bit on a clip, it doesn't do justice to the feeling of being there and hear 40,000 Seventh-day Adventists from around the world singing. It was powerful. The GC office has not yet released the official attendance figures, but we know it's upward of 40,000 people. Easily, easily. They will give the final numbers what they are. 212 nations from around the world represented, about 2,800 delegates, you know, doing the work on the floor, and then on the Sabbaths, on the evening meetings, you know, different numbers came in to participate in the worship services. It was powerful. So I want to say that our eternal God is missional. When Eve and Adam sinned, who went to look for who? It was a great I Am who went on the move to save them. And our all-powerful God is mighty to save. And today, God stands ready to transform our naturally sinful lives. Let us pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for the wonderful privilege we have to meet, to worship you. It's now maybe 10 minutes after 12 or so. And we ask, oh great God, that you be with us. This is your holy Sabbath day of rest. I pray that each of us will have peace in our hearts and we will not be in a mad rush to go anywhere. It is a holy Sabbath after all. Speak to us from heaven, Lord. And as we spend this time together, may we grow in grace, may we grow in knowledge, may we grow in your truth, may we grow in love for you, may we grow in love for one another. And help us, Lord, to awake to our mission of saving souls around us. And help us to respond to your great call to go. I will go. Speak to us now, because as your children, we are listening. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. I will go. So I just got back at 2 a.m. on Wednesday morning this week from our conference mission trip to the Dominican Republic. More than a hundred of us as missionaries went from the United States. Medical missionary trip with Adventist International Medical Missionaries. You know, and so two of us volunteered to speak, the conference president and myself, you know. And here I am. This was a gift from the conference there to me. So I want to proudly wear it at Elmira Church today. Amen. We thank God for that. It was a powerful time we had there. More than 100 missionaries from the United States went there. Three surgeries were performed by surgeons who went with us while there. We have optometrists that went, pediatricians, general practitioners, dentists, you know, massage therapists, you name it, vacation Bible school teachers, including Hannah. And she even did some translation while she was there, you know. She worked on translation. It was a powerful missionary trip. We served at least 1,000 people. Minimum of 1,000 people served. Brought maybe like 50 barrels with goods to give away, wheelchairs. I mean, it was just a blessing to the people. The dental services offered, you know, it was powerful. A prayer team out walking the streets and praying with people, inviting people to the meetings. It was a powerful time there. And the local conference president there told me there were 13 series across that conference simultaneously, you know. And so two of us from our conference here spoke. And in my series, praise God, we had 14 baptisms, you know. And I have pictures of those I could share with those who'd like to see. It was a powerful time there. We actually baptized, you know, two very high-ranking security service people. You know, that was powerful. There's a third that is being prepared to join the church. No, he needs to get married first and all of that. He was a part of just the top echelon of the national security there. It made its impact. People respond to Christ. People in high places and low places. Adults and youth and children got baptized. It was a powerful time there in the Dominican Republic. And we thank God for what he is doing and that we could be a part of this mission too. And so Nani said something today. I will kind of start and then work my way out from there. She mentioned that she would like to have the privilege to study with someone, to pray with someone, and to see that person go all the way to getting baptized and fitted up in the church and doing missions for the Lord. I want to say to each person here today, That's a responsibility for all of us. God has given every one of us that responsibility. He's not given this to pastors specifically, or only limited to pastors or public evangelists. Each of us is a disciple maker for Christ. Isn't that what Jesus said in the Great Commission of Matthew 28, 18 to 20? He says, all power in heaven and on earth is given to me. And he says, go therefore. Who did he send to go? 90 years old, 80 years old, 70, 60, 50, 40s, 30s, 20s, in the teens, under 10. He's called everybody and he's sending everybody to go. Make disciples. And so you maybe want to take a good look at your own experience. Have I been leading anyone to Christ? Have I personally been leading anyone to Christ? And if you haven't yet, it's a great day today to start. Amen? We are all called to be disciple makers. And the truth, here in North America, we can treat it like it's optional. No, God has called all of us. And friends, when I sat in that general conference session, I feel sad for North American division. But we're not only going to be sad, we're going to be prayerful. And we're going to go out and be the difference. Other divisions are growing leaps and bounds. At the turn, when the 20th century began, there were maybe 170 Adventists on the continent of Africa with 54 nations. Today, 47% of the global membership is in Africa alone. The statistician of the General Conference, he said by the next GC session in 2030, 60% of the church will be in Africa alone. I mean, they're growing leaps and bounds. We heard the story that Nani just shared about, what is it, Burkina Faso? And what the Islamists is doing. The Christians are still doing their work, regardless of the persecution. And here we live in a land of plenty, a land of peace, a land of tremendous material prosperity. And yet we're afraid to go next door and say, hello, Jesus loves you. What? Nobody next door is going to shoot you because you tell them Jesus loves them. Why are we so scared to share our faith? How long have you lived on your street in your neighborhood? Have you taken the time to know the people on your street and to introduce them to Christ and to introduce them to the message you know about Jesus? If we really believe in Jesus, we want others to believe in him too. Is that right? So Jesus says to go, and today we want to answer that call. I will go. I will go. So when we sin, our parents, Eve and Adam, God came looking for us. And today, God is still coming looking for us. And God is calling disciples to join him and go look for others. There are people in our schools, people in our workplaces, people on our streets, people where we go to shop. These are living human beings to be reached for Christ too. Amen? Neighbors, it's time that we really turn to God, partner with God, and go to reach others. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. It says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And when I read this, I get the feeling this was a habit, that God would come down in the afternoons and had face-to-face talk. I don't know if they sat under a mango tree or they sat under a grapevine, but it seems it was a daily practice for God to come down in person. Adam didn't have to close his eyes and pray, because God was right there, visible. And he and Eve and God could have conversation. This time God showed up as usual. It says they heard the sound. See, they kind of knew when God walked about. Theophany. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. See, I wasn't making it up. It might have been a mango tree, papaya tree, orange tree. mandarin tree, grapevine, we don't know. Here they were hiding. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Do you think that God was asking a geographical question? No. God was right there. That's why he left heaven and showed up in the Garden of Eden. He was right there. So, you know, we boast today about modern technology. God's GPS is greater than anything man came up with. Amen? Greater than Google Maps or Waze or whichever one you use. God's GPS was right there. He showed up and he says, "Where are you?" So in principle, God was saying to Adam, "Adam, why are you where you are?" God knew where he was. God was right there. Maybe the very tree that Adam and Eve were hiding in, God had his foot on one of the limbs of those trees. We don't know. He was right there. He was right there. And he says, "Adam, why are you where you are?" So Adam said, "I heard your voice." Very familiar voice. "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid." How comes Adam before? "No, you are not afraid of my voice. You delighted at my coming. You delighted for our meetup time. I heard your voice and I was afraid because I was naked. Adam, why are you naked? You have removed the clothing of the Lord. You have removed the character of God. Because I was naked, I hid myself." And I want to say to you, it doesn't matter how well clothed, how well tailored the suit or the dress is on some government official or someone that you idolize. I don't care how well dressed we are. If we are not covered by the blood of Christ, we're naked. As a matter of fact, isn't that what Jesus said to the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3? The Laodicean church? He said, "You think you're increased in goods. You're as rich as the Americans, huh? You think you're increased in goods and have need of nothing. But you don't realize that you're poor and naked and wretched and blind." And then he says, "Come buy of me gold tried in the fire." And you know, that you come buy of me eye salve, good eye drops, divine eye drops that you may see clearly. And he says all of that, "Come that I may clothe you, that your nakedness do not appear and your shame and bring you to shame. Come to me," God says. Adam said, "I was afraid because I was naked." And today people are literally naked and they're not afraid. Literally, and they're not afraid. They're not even ashamed. I remember when I just joined the church, you know, I could get away with it because I had a way to do it. I could maybe go out in the street and I would see somebody I know that is real skimpily dressed. And I would say, "Whoa, what happened?" And they're like, "What?" I say, "You came out of the bathroom and you left some of your clothes behind." And they would just laugh, you know. But they got the point. They got the point. And today we live in an age of nudity. We live in the naked age. And people are not ashamed. People are not afraid. How nice it would be that you and I would lead those people to Christ. And they would give their hearts to Jesus. And soon you watch God physically transform their lives. And the same person that is so modestly clothed, no, you couldn't tell that that was a person who, you know, dressed that skimpily. When God changes the heart, the clothes will change too. Amen? When God changes the heart, the taste will change. Amen? When God changes the heart, instead of drinking alcohol, we'll drink grape juice. Amen? Yes, and when God changes the heart, instead of eating the pig, we will eat tofu. Amen, amen. Yes. When God comes in, he transforms. And when God comes in, we are no longer afraid. When God comes in, we are no longer naked. When God comes in, we are clothed with the very righteousness of Christ. What a glorious God is our God. And when we go through our difficulties, let us remember that God is on the move. He's coming and he's asking the question today, "Why are you where you are?" And so our eternal God is, he's very missional. And he's represented by the Father in the prodigal story. He's always looking out for every last person who has the desire to come back home. God is always hunting us down to save us. So in Luke chapter 15, we want to go there now to the Gospel of Luke. And by the way, it was a very good visit with Luke this past Wednesday. I went to see him there, you know. Luke chapter 15. Want to see the story about this prodigal. So I will back up from verse 11. It said, then he said, this is Jesus teaching. A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, you're as good as dead. Did you see that in your Bibles? Yeah, you won't see that in print, but that's exactly what he was telling his dad. Father, you are good as dead. So why don't you go ahead and give me the portion of goods that falls to me? That was so rude. That was so rotten. That's an entitlement behavior right there. Just go ahead and give me what falls to me. He's making a demand on his father's estate. Give me the portion that falls to me. Please is not, it doesn't look like please is even implied there. He's demanding that his father do this for him. Give me the goods, that the portion of goods that falls to me. So that father, he obliged. So he divided to them his livelihood. Well, I can tell you, none of my children will make that mistake. Oh, you better believe it. You don't come and make any demands about my livelihood, amen? I have the privilege to share my livelihood with you. You don't make any demands on it, amen? Amen. So it says, the father divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the guy couldn't wait to get out of town. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. He wasn't going to leave a paper clip behind. He gathered all together. And man, he was trying to get away as far from home as possible. And so he journeyed to a far country, maybe Las Vegas. Maybe Las Vegas, you know. And there, he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Can you imagine that? He went to all the casinos. And he was saying he was going to be super rich. So he was going to bet big. He was going to be a high roller. And he was going to make some money. And the more he put that his money in those slot machines, the more he watched it disappear. And they say he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Wasteful living. But when he had spent all. See, it doesn't matter how much money you have in this world. If you're spending that way like this guy, it's going to run out one day. You're spending on nothing coming in. You're gambling everything out. You're spending it on liquor. You're making decisions when you're half drunk or when you're high on legal cannabis. Yeah, he spent it all. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in Las Vegas. And he began to be in want. This guy's an Adventist boy, you know. He was raised in the church. Perhaps third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh generation Adventist. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of Nevada in Las Vegas. And he sent him into his fields. This Seventh-day Adventist boy was sent into the fields to feed what? Swine. Can you imagine that? You don't eat the pig, but you're going to now care for them and feed the pig. The unclean animal. He was sent. Man, how many of you would like a swine job today? I don't see any takers, Sharon. Nobody's raising their hand. Man, he was sent to feed swine. And, you know, the swine is God's creature. But I would prefer that Brother Arnold, as we call him in Jamaica, I would rather that Brother Arnold be left in the field. Amen? This guy was sent to feed swine. And he would gladly, catch this now, this is how low the brother man went. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. And no one gave him. The man was coveting pig's food. Pig's food. Can you imagine that? This guy had serious monies. His father's 401k, maybe was in the millions, spent on this boy, and now he's coveting pig food. That is serious. And that's what happens when we walk away from grace. I have never seen anyone serve the Lord and gotten worse off. Never. When anyone comes to Christ, it is a situation of upward mobility. Physically, mentally, spiritually. You're growing your financial outlook, your academic pursuit, and even your career tightens up. Anyone who is in Christ. I met a couple last year in the Dominican Republic. They have three children together. They were living without the benefit of marriage. And so they understood that. And we encouraged them to step forward and do what God is calling them to do. There were some delays in the processing of the husband's paperwork, but in about a month after I left, he was able to get those paperwork. They got married and they got baptized. While I was there, their children got baptized, you know, but they had to get marriage taken care of. And so they got baptized. He sent me the video with his baptism and everything, you know, proud. He and his wife, they got baptized together. Well, they're in a different province from the province I went this year. But Sunday of this week, today is Sabbath, Sunday of this week, you know, the local pastor that is no longer there, but he's bilingual, I linked up with them, prearranged, and we went to that province after I finished the series where I was. We went to look for this family. And boy, they were surprised. They were shocked. They were shocked. Because we wanted to visit as many of the people who got baptized last year as possible. And so we went to see him, and we were able to visit with them and pray with them. And I actually asked them that question. I said, did I tell you the truth last year? When someone comes to the Lord, their lives get better. Has your life gotten any better? And they could testify that the Lord has been good to them. And they are trying to keep faith. They have made their strong financial breakthrough yet. The husband has to work 10 hours away. And the wife works too. And so when I saw the situation where they were living, you know, I said, I'm praying. And then I could see, I can tell. And then one of the parents said, man, it's dangerous here. The father is away 10 hours, mother is out working, and these young children, the oldest boy is 14, the girl is 12, and the youngest boy is 9. You know, and where they're living, I could see the area is informal living. People just take over a piece of land and build something up so you can rest your head. That's what it is. So I'm listening, and so the husband said he would like to move his family to where he's working. It's a nicer place. They can learn English there as well. Better school for the children and all of that. And I'm listening, you know. And for those of you who would like to finish that story, reach out to me and I could tell you more. But I'm telling you that God is already making waves in their lives. You see the transformation taking place. They are having faith in God, and by the grace of God, every Sabbath they are in church. They make sure they are not working on God's holy Sabbath. The 24 sacred hours of the Sabbath are preserved, and they are growing in the Lord. So I'm doing a little bit of a fundraiser to help them, because school begins August 25th in this new city that they'll move to, whole new province. You know, and so I'm pushing here to help them get situated. The husband thinks he found a place, and tomorrow he's going to pay for that place. I was able, by the grace of God, to send him some funds yesterday. But by the time he gets it, you know, Sabbath is coming soon. He couldn't go do his deposit. You know. But we thank God for what he's doing. When any person comes to Christ, there is transformation. And I was telling him that, just know you belong to a global family. You don't just live in one corner of the Dominican Republic. You belong to a global family, 25 million strong around the world. Every shade of human being you can think of, like we sang in the children's story, red, brown, yellow, black, and white. We're one global family. I want to say to you here in Elmira today, sometimes we can look at our numbers here and feel like, man, we're so small. You know, half of our congregation is over 70. You know, we can think that way. We belong to a global family. We're not just off to a corner in Elmira by ourselves. We belong to a global family. Amen? And by the grace of God, the work will not finish before we in Elmira finish our part of the work. Amen? We are part of the global vineyard, and it's time we rise up. Done. So in your workplace, you are there as an ambassador for Christ. Done. You should tell your co-workers about Jesus. There is lunchtime. There's coffee break. Use that coffee. Don't drink the coffee, but use the coffee break to tell them about Jesus. Amen. Yes, we are all called to be witnesses in the school. Don't believe you're only there to get an academic education. No. You're there as ambassadors for Christ, missionaries for Christ, answering the call saying, I will go. So in your workplace, in your school, in the nice neighborhood that you live, you're not just there for the nicety of the neighborhood. You are there to be a missionary for Christ in that neighborhood. And the people in your neighborhood need to know Jesus. Amen? And Sister Michelle, when the challenges come to our door, to our own children, we don't give up, we don't quit. We go into fasting and prayer. We call out in church and ask the church to help us pray. And we rally around one another and we grow in Christ. I will go. So here is this son of a prodigal, wasteful living, got down to the spot where he was coveting pig's food. That's what the scripture says. The guy, verse 16, he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. And this is something, especially the younger generation will find out. When you have good looks, good intelligence, you're getting good grades, and you have money going, you can have 1,000 friends. Everybody loves you and likes you when things are going good. Everyone does. But let one accident happen and hot water burn your face and your face get a little bit disfigured, and you see how quickly those friends disappear. Let you go broke and don't have any money anymore and see how quickly those friends disappear. And Abigail Noah, Hannah Noah was going to tell him this one. See, she already gave the face. Man, she thought she had a friend in school, and she was selected in that Broome County area to be a part of a singing group. And oh my, you should see how the one who she thought was her friend, you should see how that person treated her. Very young, very early. And I say, look, it's not everybody who pretend to smile with you is your friend. Always know that. Always know that. I could share many stories, but I'll spare you. I'll spare you. I have seen it. But I want you to know that there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He will never forsake you. Never, never, never. He always loves you. And he doesn't love you for anything you have. As a matter of fact, all that you have belongs to him. He loves you for just loving you. You are unique and you are special to him. Do you think God loved this prodigal boy who wanted to covet pig's food? Got so low, got situation, got so bad. Do you think God loved this guy? Absolutely. Do you think God loved you more than he loved this boy? No, it's the same love. You and I cannot do anything to make God increase his love for us. Did you know that? If we are disobedient, we will miss out on his blessings. But it doesn't matter how obedient you are, it's not going to make God love you anymore. Because he already loved you to the max. Did you realize that? God is maxed out on his love for you. So your obedience does not make God loves you anymore. It just brings you into favor with God more. God already loved you to the max. And he demonstrated that on the cross. Amen? So we go to verse 17, where our scripture reading began today. So this young man, who got nothing from any of those so-called friends. But when he came to himself, I like that. So it is true from this phrase that people have not yet surrendered to Christ. They haven't yet come to themselves. I just wanted to see that today. So all those very important people on earth who still haven't accepted Christ yet, they have not yet come to themselves. They are still living the prodigal life. It says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? How is that even possible? They have so much. And here I am. And think about that spiritually for a moment. Because in America, this is a land of plenty. It's easy to think about materialism. But think about the spiritual. You and I are daughters and sons of God. How many spiritual blessings are there that God wants to give us? How many of his blessings do we avail ourselves to God to give unto us? This fall, we want to go into a full-on evangelistic series on behalf of this church. As it is, we are doing work in the background on marketing. We want to put the word out there. We already look at a space to rent. And we are thinking about the Clarion Hotel. I guess it used to be Holiday Inn. We are thinking about over there. We already contacted them. We have some reservations made there. Are being made. The dates we're still ironing out. Because we want the time when we can have maximum participation. You can begin to tell your friends about this. Tell your co-workers about this. Tell your neighbors about this. Tell the people you're meeting while shopping about this. You can begin to spread the word that there is something coming to town. Begin to get people ready. Begin to talk to them. Get some Bible studies going, because we want this city to hear the word of God. And you and I, we are God's agents to go out and tell the people and to invite the people. What is happening more and more is that we can have these meetings and then half of the church doesn't show up. I mean, if you're having something as a church and you don't show up, why should I? Think about that. If it's important, the church members should be there, right? And if we have some meeting and the church members are not there, I don't want to go either. It's not important. They're not there. And so we want to put our best foot forward. We want to pray. And Nanny, she's been talking about something. I don't know if she said it to you yet, Jim. She's been thinking about meeting up here on Wednesday night for prayer, for those who want to pray. Just a time of prayer. It's not a study time. Just time for praying. You know, and so, I don't know who else here might be inclined to be a part of that. But you can talk to Nanny about that. Nanny, you can talk to Jim somewhere about that. Charles is here, you know. Talk to the elders. It's a time of prayer. Do we really believe that Jesus is coming? Do we really believe that? Or we just say it? How many of us really believe Christ is coming soon? Like you believe it. Amen. It's pretty much unanimous. John, I think we lose John there. But we are nearing home. And you know, as I started in summer school, Charles, and you were sharing, I got to thinking. You say, not in our lifetime. Maybe not. We don't know. Maybe not in our lifetime. And I kind of think about that a little bit. Reason this out with me. Let's say I am 47 now. Let's say I die this year at 47. And 100 years from now, Jesus came. What age am I when Jesus comes? 47. 100 years from now, when Jesus wakes me up, how much time passed for me? I want to hear the answers, man. Come on. 100 years from my death at 47, when Jesus wakes me up, how much time passed for me? Huh? That means the question is not clear. I die at 47, and 100 years later, Jesus woke me up. Between when I die at 47 and when Jesus woke me up, how much time passed for me? No time, maybe seconds, maybe a few minutes. Because, you know, I'm working with the level of consciousness now. No time. So really and truly, Charles, even though 1,000 years may pass between when Abraham died and when Jesus comes again, I could technically say it was in his lifetime. Because at whatever age he was when he dies, on resurrection morning, he didn't miss all that gap that we read about in history. Because it's from the moment, your last moment of consciousness before death, and the moment Jesus brings you back to life. That's all the time that passed for you. And that's how soon the coming of Jesus is, from a philosophical standpoint. And the question I've asked you many times, when are you going to die? None of us knows when we're going to die. But yet, the next moment of consciousness after death will be the coming of Christ. And hopefully it's the first one, right? Amen. Otherwise, we'll be 1,000 years too late. Amen. And so, in principle, when do we have to make our calling and election sure? Only now. And along today's theme of reaching the people, when do we have to say, I will go? Now. We don't have yesterday. That's in the tomb. We don't have tomorrow. That's in the womb. It's not yet born. All we have is today. And so we have to really begin to think. The people that we're encountering, how much time do they have to make a decision for Christ? We all have the same amount of time right now. The moment in which we are, that's the amount of time we have. And so there should be no delay on our part in inviting people to Christ. We have to step out of our comfort zone. Where in the Bible says we should only witness in the zones we are comfortable? Where in the Bible says that? Give me one text that says only share the faith where you're comfortable. Give me a Bible verse for that. But I can give you plenty of Bible verse where Jesus says, go make disciples. Go make disciples of everybody, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Everybody, amen? Your friends, your enemy, and your frenemies. Everybody together, reaching all for Christ, amen? I will go. So this guy, he came to himself and he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And you guys know what the prophecies say, right? About the last day's hunger. We're told in the book of Amos that the day is coming, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. A famine, not for food. A thirst, not for water, but for hearing the word of God. Famine, and it almost looked like we're in that famine. When I was at the GC session, Joan, and on those Sabbaths when upward of 40,000 people was present, it felt good to hear 40,000 plus Adventists singing. But that will not take away from being in the little corner at Elmira and singing. So I'm not jealous, Joan, of the big church that has many people out there. To be frank with you, I won't even go. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm not going to no Sunday church. I'll say it plainly. I am not going. I'm staying in Israel. This is where God has called me, and this is where I'm going to stand. This is where I'm going to attend. This is where I'm going to go. I'm not going to go over to the Sunday church. And we have good reason why we shouldn't. God is calling his people to come out of Babylon. It's the second angel's message. And we are told plainly that Babylon is the Sunday churches. Plain, we shouldn't be going there. As God's children, we need to commit it to his one true church, the Remnant Seventh-day Adventist Church of Bible Prophecy. I will go, and we should not compromise our belief. We should stand on the word of God. If I go to the Sunday church, it is to help my brethren there to see the light. Not to fellowship with them and let them feel comfortable like they are in the truth. Not for this time. As Seventh-day Adventists, it's full time we wake up. Amen? Amen. I will go. So this guy came to his senses and he says, how many of my father's hired servants, hired one, these are not even his sons, hired ones, have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. And here was his resolve. I will arise and go. And that's where I drew it from. I will go. I will arise and go to my father. How many of us will say that today? I will arise and go to Jesus. I will arise and go to my father. And he has this rehearsed speech. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. And it's good that we recognize when we sin. That's hard for some of us. It's good when we recognize. He says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And sometimes we can behave like hirelings. We don't want to be hirelings. We don't want to be a hired servant. As good as this sound, it was not good enough. Because look at this. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. How did his father see him a great way off? Because that father was always looking out for this boy. Always praying for this boy. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. His father had compassion. His father ran, and his father fell on his neck and kissed him. That's what Jesus wants to do for us today. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do for us today. That's what the Ancient of Days want to do for us today. They, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they want to fall all over us and have compassion on us and kiss us and restore us as sons and daughters of God. What is your answer to Jesus today? My answer is, I will arise and go to Jesus. I will arise and go to my Father. I will arise and go to the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I will arise and go be a disciple for Jesus. I will arise and go make disciples for Jesus. God is calling us to take a stand for him today. How many of you got here at 9:30 this morning? For Sabbath school. There are some hands. There are people who make it out early. It's no maybe like 7 minutes to one. And we are winding down. It's okay. You got 3.5 hours in the house of God. That's not bad. A movie is maybe 2 hours. And some of us we watch those movies. And we don't even take a bathroom break. You know, we don't even. So it's not bad to spend 3 hours in the house of God or 3.5. But you know, one of the identifying features, characteristics of the beast is that he weary out the saints of the Most High. So I don't want to be guilty of that today. Amen. I don't want to weary out the saints of the Most High. So we are going to wrap up. But I want you to know today that Jesus loves you tremendously. And as much as Jesus loves you, Jesus loves your neighbors the same way. Jesus loves your co-workers the same way. Jesus loves your schoolmates and classmates the same way. The people you shop in the same space with, Jesus loved them the same way. The question is, will you tell them that Jesus loves them? Will you give them an invitation to Jesus? Will you answer God's great commission today to go therefore and make disciples? Will you respond by saying, Lord, I will go? Will you, like this prodigal son, say, I will arise and go to my father? God wants to hear from you. His drones are high in the sky looking for you. God's satellites are everywhere looking out for you. God is behind every bush looking to save you. He's under every rock waiting to uphold you. God is present everywhere, seeking you out, searching you out, wanting to save you to the fullest extent. Christ in us, the hope of glory. What a work he wants to do. When he was on that cross, you and I were on his mind. Why don't we turn to Jesus today? We have number 296. I have wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long have trod. Now I'm coming home. Amen. On the battlefield for my Lord. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, I thank you for each child, each youth, each young adult, each senior citizen, and each able-bodied adult, Lord. We thank you for every person present here today. In a special way, Lord, Sister Michelle singled out Tyler, Lord. We're so glad that he could be here today as well. Father, I pray that whatever he has heard today, you will touch his heart and help him to know he's your son. Help each of us here to know we are your daughters and your sons. Help each of us to know that, Jesus, you are mighty to save. And like that prodigal who wandered away, the younger son, Lord, you are calling us to come back to you. And help us to come, Lord, come home to your home of evangelism, to your home of I will go, to your home, Lord, where we live for you. We will serve you, we'll love you, we'll obey you, and we'll invite others to do the same. As we go from this sacred house today, as we go from this sacred place today, help us to go with your companionship. Help us to go with your presence. Help us to go in your word and in your power. And Jesus, please, help us to put away shyness, to put away the desire to just only be in our comfort zone, and help us to go share the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, these are serious times. Souls are perishing. Souls for whom you died. Souls for whom you paid the full passage to heaven. And Lord, we are your agents and messengers to tell them to come. Give us holy boldness. Give us a newness of heart. Give us a new fire of love for you and love for others, Lord. And help us to go share our faith in the spirit and power of the Holy Spirit himself. Cleanse us today, Jesus, thoroughly, we ask. May as we go from this place, we go washed, sanctified, cleansed, purified, rebaptized, born of the Spirit. And if anyone still needs to be born of the water, Lord, help us to go empowered today. And help us, Jesus, to say, in reply to your commission to go, I will go. Amen. And amen. Praise be to God.